Good morning.
Good morning.
It's apparently so. It's apparently so. It's apparently so. This morning's reading comes from the Book of John, month 3, day 18, verse 3. Today I am blessed by a snowy scenario this morning, enjoying that, and then changing to a sunny, warm afternoon. The impermanence of appearances, the impermanence of appearances, enjoying whatever comes along, uncovering the good in all experiences. What does this mean? It was the other morning, and I woke to a snowy scenario. It had been blizzarding all night, and all of a sudden, the vista was changed completely. Went down to the swim exercise room to partake in the exercises, and coming out, it had changed again. The pathway was completely white, and walking back, the cloud was low and there was a misty sort of mountain type feel to the whole scene. And I walked back with Anita and we talked about different snow conditions and talked about walking on top of the snow. And all that ended with the throwing of snowballs and fun. And then in the afternoon, it was as if the morning had never been. I was out clearing the sides of the roadways around the campus. And it was like it normally is. And every now and then I would catch sight in behind the bushes of small patches of snow. And my thought would be, what's that? And then I would quickly realize that it was snow from this morning. And in the evening, I sat down and I wrote in my blessing book and I thought about what I experienced during the day. And it came to me as an example of the impermanence of the things that we experience. For in the course of the day, my whole world apparently had changed. It made me think a little bit of the illusion of space, because these different experiences, the snow in the morning and the beautiful sun and warmth in the afternoon, had all occurred in the same place. In the morning, it was beautiful and snowy, and in the afternoon, it was beautiful and warm in the same place. And then I thought of the illusion of time as well, because in the morning, walking back with Anita, I somehow wasn't for a lot of the time really with Anita. I was in the Pyrenees Mountains, walking across the karst country, an experience in my memory I'd had many years before. And looking across at the side of the valley, and not being able to see the tops, only seeing the cloud and that sort of misty feeling, I was right back there. And the path covered with fresh snow, because at that time I had to get to a certain point that evening, and I was walking across the karst country, and it was limestone country, and the trail was marked by painted dots on the rock. And as the snow was falling, I was losing my trail. And because the country was so similar in whichever way I looked, in my mind I had the idea that if I lost the trail, I wouldn't know where I was. And so at that time, walking back, I was in the mountains in France. And all time was an illusion. I've created myself as a campus handyman. And I work a lot with illusions. Things that apparently seem to not function. In recent times, I've had the blessing of working with electricity, and it has really come home to me, this idea of appearances. Electricity somehow, things that switches and fuse boxes and things that function using electricity, that electricity is somehow closer in my mind to the concept of undifferentiated matter. And so it's easier to play with the idea of it being there 1 minute and not being there the next. The classic example happened just recently. I had the Canon digital camera, and my intent was to take some photographs along the path to put with a talk I had in my mind to do. But somehow, I didn't really want to do it all that badly. And so I created the camera not functioning. Every time I switched it on, I kept getting an error in the card. And throughout the day, I switched it on and kept getting the same malfunction, apparently so. That evening, I took the camera to Herb and I said, "This camera doesn't appear to be working." And Herb switched it on and it went. What was happening? Was there actually something wrong with the camera during the day? Or did I simply create that situation because I didn't want the camera to work? It's all consciousness. And consciousness, it all comes back to consciousness. And consciousness has been in my mind as well. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Consciousness is in my mind. And I thought recently too of experience of working in the embassy, doing some work, putting up the plant hangers, I think, or the around the tops of the walls, putting up a string so that the vine could hang on it. And when I was in the embassy, I created Herb coughing and sneezing and blowing his nose, apparently having a cold. And so for several days, the idea of a cold was in my mind. And as we sat at the table, Herb would blow his nose, sniffle. And within 3 days, which is what I believe it takes to have a cold, I experienced a cold. I experienced a cough and a sniffle. I blew my nose. I blew my nose for about a week. And I experienced for the first time in probably 2 or 3 years a cold. I believe I experienced that cold because it came into my consciousness. To maintain a strong consciousness, to keep your focus on what you know to be true, is a secret to life and the joy it unfolds. It's an interesting time for me at the moment because, as in all cases, I have the choice of staying or leaving the monastery in about 5 weeks. And associated with that, there is all sorts of different options. And at the moment, it's interesting for me to see what I create in my world. What apparently seems to be, at times, a lack of fun, a lack of things that seem to interest me. And with that awareness, last night, sitting thinking about this talk, coming to the realization that I am totally in control of my world. And I create happiness and joy and fun wherever I am, whether I'm at the monastery, whether I'm in New Zealand, whether I'm in England, it doesn't really matter. For I am worthy of that fun and that joy. And that's quite a powerful realization to come to. Because with that realization, it takes off the brakes. It releases me from thoughts of needing to feel sorry for myself or get attention from others. Because I create it. And I create joy and happiness wherever I am. And anything else is apparently so. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A day in the life of Riley. A day in the life of Riley. A day in the life of Riley. Riley was a dreamer. Or as he liked to think of himself, an inventor. An inventor. A thinker of new ideas. A creator. He would spend most of his day thinking of way out, crazy, wild, exciting new ideas. And this is just what he was doing now. It was Mr. Robinson's science class, 10 o'clock on a Monday, and Riley was sitting at the back, staring out the window. He was thinking of other things. Mr. Robinson was talking about perpetual motion. Perpetual motion, the incessant, the unstopping motion. Perpetual machines, machines that just keep on going and don't stop. They're not possible, said Mr. Robinson. There's always some loss of energy, be it friction or heat, that eventually stops the machine. You have to put energy into it to keep it going. Riley was sort of half listening and half thinking of how the trees were blowing in the wind outside the window and brushing against the side of the window, and the windows were dirty. And he was thinking to himself, you could put little windscreen wipers on each window and have strings tied to the tree so that when the wind blew, it would pull a string and the windscreen wiper would go backwards and forwards and the windows would always be clean. He smiled to himself and then cast a glance towards Mr. Robinson writing on the blackboard. And then he had another idea about how when you write on the blackboard and the chalk falls off the blackboard onto the rail down below, you could have a little conveyor belt which carried the chalk along and dropped it into a hole. And down on the bottom was this like a compactor, like a garbage, like a trash compactor that sort of compacted all the chalk and made it into another piece of chalk. And at the end of the day, when you cleaned off the blackboard, instead of just shaking it outside, you could shake it into your chalk compactor. That could be perpetual motion, he thought to himself. It was just before lunch, and he was in English class with Mrs. Gilkinson. And she was talking about Shakespeare and Macbeth and Summer in Scotland. But he was thinking of something else. He was thinking of how when you have a piece of toast quite often in the morning and you've just buttered it and put honey on it and it's all yummy and you drop it and it always seems to land with the honey and the butter on the floor. Always. And then he was thinking of his cat, Tiddles, and how whenever you drop him, no matter how high, he always lands on his feet. And he thought, what you could do is you could combine the two. You could take Tiddles, or any cat, and on his back you could put a piece of buttered bread or buttered toast. With the butter and the honey sticking up from his back, and then you could hold him up and drop him. And the cat would fall to the ground, feet first, which they always do, but the toast would be trying to turn around so that it could land on the ground and splatter on the ground. And as it turned around, the cat would be turning around as well, because while the toast was pointing towards the ground, the cat's feet would be up in the air. And the cat always lands on its feet, so it would be turning around. And then the toast would turn around, and it would keep going on this forever. And he thought, yeah, and I could get a shaft and put a shaft in between the toast and the cat, and then I could have like a little cog on the end of it, and we could run machines off it. We could have like a perpetual motion machine. And he stood up and he yelled, yes! Yes! And Mrs. Gilkins said, yes, Riley? And Riley says, I've just realised how you can make perpetual motion. And Mrs. Gilkins said, that's nice, Riley. And carried on talking about Macbeth or something. And then it was lunchtime. And on the way down to the tuck shop to get a pie and some chips, like he always did on Mondays, he went past Cook Industries. Mr. Cook was a friend of his father's. He was an inventor as well. He was really cool. He made big, big inventions. And he thought, I might go and tell Mr. Cook about my perpetual motion machine. And so he turned off the footpath and went through the big gates into Cuckoo Land, as the local people used to call it, because they all thought Mr. Cook was a little bit strange. He went inside, went into his office. Miss Aikenson was sitting at her desk. She was Mr. Cook's secretary. Hi, Riley, she said. Hi, Mrs. Aikens, he replied. Is Mr. Cook available? Always available for you, Riley. Great. And as he walked past, he caught that familiar smell of Miss Aikens. That almond smell. Ah, he loved almonds. He quite liked Miss Aikens as well. Enjoy yourself, said Miss Aikens. Thanks, said Riley. He knocked and went in. Hiya, Master Riley. How are you today? Said Mr. Cook, always happy, surrounded with a big cloud of cigar smoke, because he always seemed to have a big cigar either in his hand or stuffed into his mouth. Today it was in his hand, because his mouth was busy chewing on something. What are you chewing on, Mr. Cook? Said Riley.
Oh, it's this new invention I'm trying out. It's like a bubble gum that cleans your teeth at the same time.
Cool, said Riley. Can I try some?
Sure, here you go. Yeah, have a whole stick.
Riley started chewing.
Boy, it is good. Yeah. It's got another really cool feature too,
said Mr. Cook.
When you finish cleaning your teeth, you can blow a bubble. And it blows this big bubble, and the whole thing goes into the bubble, and then you just blow it out and it just floats up into the air.
Cool, said Riley.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about sticking it or on the seat or under a desk.
Great, said Riley.
Has got a bit of a drawback though, said Mr. Cook. You don't want to do it inside. He looked up towards the ceiling and so did Riley, and there all across the roof was all these different coloured balls. And he looked at Mr. Cook and Mr. Cook looked at him and they both laughed and laughed and laughed.
I've got an idea for an invention, Mr. Cook. It's a perpetual motion machine.
Great.
He pushed the buzzer and called Miss Akins in.
Come in, Miss Akins. Take notes. Master Riley's got another good idea.
So they sat and they talked about perpetual motion machine, or as Riley had called it, the Riley Cat and Toaster Rotor.
Catchy, eh? Yeah, certainly is,
said Mr. Cook. On the way out of the office, Miss Akins called Riley over and said, I've got someone I think you'd be interested in meeting. Why don't you come by after school and I'll take you to meet him. So Riley did this, and on the way back, back home, he called in and Miss Akins took him to a big house on the edge of town. It was a house that Riley had never noticed before. And she said, why don't you go in there and meet the man in there? He's really interesting. I think you'll enjoy him. Thank you, said Riley. And as he moved towards the gate, it automatically opened. And he stepped in. And as he stepped in, he noticed on the corner, out of the corner of his eye, something whirling around really quickly. And he looked at it, and he realized it was a Riley Cat and Toaster Roto. The gate was being powered by his idea. There was a piece of toast with butter and jam on top, and a cat underneath, whirling around at great speed. Woohoo, said Riley, this is cool. Went in and knocked on the door, and went in. Into the house. In front of him was an escalator going up the stair up to the next floor, and he noticed too that it was kept continually moving, and it was being powered by a Riley Cat Toaster Rotor. Great! And he went up the stairs, and up the top there was a big fan on the ceiling, and there was a cat whirling around at the top of that too, and a piece of toast. Went into the top room, and there was this man sitting on a merry-go-round going up and down the horse. And sure enough, right in the middle was a cat with a toast whirling around. Have a seat, said the man. Thank you, said Riley. They sat down, and they laughed. Riley thought to himself, wow, is it possible that in the course of an afternoon, Mr. Cook has developed my idea and sold it to this man? Did you get this idea from Mr. Cook? Said Riley. No. Thought of it this morning. It's a good idea. I had the same idea. Yes, it is a good idea. Come into the kitchen. I want to show you something. So they went into the kitchen, and all over the floor was bits of toast and butter, and all over the walls was butter and jam. Do you like some toast? Said the man. Yeah, that'd be good, said Riley. So they sat down, and they ate toast and jam. Some of it fell on the floor. Jam side down, of course. And the cats, they didn't seem to mind that. They rushed over and gobbled it up. Anything's possible, said the man. Anything's possible. That's true, said Riley. And life is good, said the man. That's true, said Riley. And so it was. A day in the life of Riley.